Chapter 44. December 19th of year 18. Marchenko, let's get back to what you said yesterday. You mentioned that there must be a connection between the shade habitats, Eve says, looking down at me. I'm using my strong arms to pull my robot body onto a small rocky platform. Yes, there must be some kind of exchange. Perhaps through the air, I hypothesize. How do you think that would work? Eve asks, groaning as she pulls herself up to a higher ledge. Adam is climbing above her, and both of them are connected to me by ropes. If someone falls, I can quickly attach my body to the rocks. It would be sufficient if the wind blows individual cells between them, or one of the little ring animals, which just digested a piece of its host, I say. Or there is a subterranean connection, Eve suggests. That's possible, too. But how did you get that idea? I ask. I remember what you taught us about the biology of Earth, about how large the underground part of all ecosystems is, and we haven't even seen the thing all these hairs lead to. I also wonder about the nature of this being. Perhaps it is a giant tuber. The hairs provide nutrients, which are then stored in the tuber. But for what reason? Maybe it's for the next flare? Eve suggests. The hairs have a silicon coating, but in the central plane, the effect of the flare must be the strongest. You think the hairs grow again every 40 days, fed by the energy stored in the tuber? The sensors of the biomonitor send an alert. Eve's body temperature is 0.2 degrees above normal. Maybe the air conditioning of her suit is not keeping up. If Proxima Centauri has been producing flares for billions of years, life here is definitely adapted to them, Eve says. I am sorry, but are you feeling all right? I ask, changing the subject. Yes, sure, Marchenko. It is a bit tiring, but that was to be expected. Why do you ask? I get data saying your body temperature is slightly high. It might not be significant, but... I know it is better to ask once too often than not often enough, Eve says. Right now I cannot see my display. We could take a break after this fissure. Adam, we are taking a short break, I tell him by radio. Adam mumbles something that sounds like, okay. The ledge Eve is aiming for does not offer enough space for both of us, but this is no problem. I drive 2 steel nails from my arms into the granite. They will support my weight. Just a moment, she says. I see her jump across a 1/2-meter-wide gap that has a depth of 50 meters. I'm tempted to cry out, but just manage to control myself. Okay, my suit. 1 second. Eve shakes the dust off her sleeve so she can read the display better. Shit, she says. The cooling efficiency has decreased by 45%. I'm sorry, Marchenko, I should have noticed it earlier, but it seemed normal to sweat while climbing a mountain. Everything okay? Adam asks via radio. He now seems to be interested in what is going on with us. Eve has a problem with her suit, I reply. It's the cooling system. Let her climb naked. Ha ha, Eve replies. But seriously, what prevents her from switching to her normal uniform? Heat and radiation, I reply. I understand, Adam acknowledges. I can manage for a while longer, Eve says. But I notice her voice sounds uncertain now. I look down. We have climbed about 400 meters. After going up another 300 meters, we will reach a mountain pass leading through the mountain range, which has a total height of several thousand meters. I am puzzled by the shape of the mountain range, particularly the steep foothills. It seems as if the mountains once surrounded a kind of giant bathtub. Was the central plain an ocean at some time? That would have been when Proxima B was still farther from its star and was generally colder. Perhaps back then a meteorite struck the ocean, vaporizing the water and moving the planet to an orbit closer to the sun. We spent 2 hours to climb this far, and Eve will have to make it for another hour at least. Human bodies do not handle overheating well. They react with nausea, headaches, and finally loss of consciousness. We can't let it get that far. I radio Adam. Do you have any ideas? What alternatives are there? We wait until night and then keep climbing, Adam replies. He is quite the joker today. The uniform, as Adam suggested, Eve says. It is another hour in full sun and strong physical exertion, I remind her. A little bit of cooling is better than none. We cannot avoid the sun, but we can get around the exertion. Eve is right, and I know exactly what she means. I could carry you, I offer.
Just admit you're lazy and your pressure suit is working fine.
Adam, that's enough, I insist. Eve does not answer for a moment, and she seems to be thinking about it. Can you really do that? She asks. I would not have, yes, I'm aware of that, she breaks in. Oh well. I wonder whether I have overstated my promise to her. Yes, if either Adam or Eve or the both of them fell, I could quickly anchor myself to the wall of rock so the rope would hold them. Unfortunately, this will not help me climb. I will have to ascend the last 300 meters with the added weight of Eve in her backpack, using just two arms. A single arm would need to move almost half a ton upward. I know these values are within Jay's specifications, but does the rock edge this arm will be holding onto know that too? Will it be stable enough to support 500 kilograms? I cannot be absolutely sure, even though the rock has so far seemed very sturdy. And what would happen if I fell? Adam is connected to the same rope as I am, but he definitely would not be able to hold on to my mass. So he will fall as well. I'm being irresponsible. Eve should be connected to Adam's rope. If I fell, the two of them could survive. One has to expect any kind of contingency in the mountains. I explain my plan to Adam and Eve.
Out of the question, Adam says. It's either no one or all of us.
Eve agrees with him. I'm not going to connect to Adam's rope, and you can't do anything about it. Even though they do not obey me, exposing themselves to danger in a very illogical fashion, I am nevertheless glad. Well, I say, if you want it that way, Eve, I would suggest you sit on Jay's shoulder and hold on to his head. Eve does not hesitate for long. I am hanging below her on the rock wall at an angle. This position is perfect for her to climb onto my shoulders.
Giddy up, horsey,
she says after taking her place, and she uses a loop of the rope as a whip. I feel like whinnying, but I suppress the impulse when I realize all three of us could plunge into the abyss at any moment. Hold on tight, I say to Eve, who is very mistaken if she imagines our climb to be some leisurely ride. Then I remember that she has no concept of what a ride is like. She only knows about horses from her lessons. I carefully free the left arm and feel for a stable ledge higher up. The joints of my fingers that are holding onto the rock are made of an incredibly strong titanium alloy. Then I free the other arm. I automatically move slightly lower and to the left because I am swinging on only one arm. I give a push with my lower body, allowing my other arm to find a new handhold. Jay, the robot, climbs like a monkey, which is not a pleasant form of locomotion for a person sitting on his shoulders. Eve is very quiet now. I press my chin against her knees in such a way that she cannot fall off. Swing to the right, swing to the left. I have to slow down so I will not pass Adam. Perhaps it will take us less than an hour. Swing to the right, since there is a better handhold there. Suddenly the view out of my right eye becomes blurred. I almost miss the rock ledge, but then I reach it and hold on. What happened? I ask.
I had to throw up, Eve replies. I'm sorry, but it was so sudden I couldn't warn you.
This catches my attention, as vomiting can be a sign of heat shock. Is everything okay with you? While I'm asking her, I already check the data supplied by the biomonitor.
Yes, everything is fine, and I'm not feeling that hot anymore, she says.
I am relieved. Eve's body temperature has not risen further.
Adam, let's go on, I say. Another 100 meters.
We reach the plateau 20 minutes later. I lift Eve from her place on my shoulders. As if on cue, we all turn back to see the view. The sun-burned central plain lies 700 meters below us. We only encountered two of the species living there. But there must be more. At some point, we will have to return here, if just because messenger is waiting for us beyond the horizon,
It has no engine that would provide sufficient thrust to launch it into space. But that could be changed. I turn back around, and Adam and Eve follow me. The information we recorded during our orbital flyover is correct. The mountain pass will lead us to the other side of the mountain range. Its walls, several kilometers high, cast dark, cold shadows that feel threatening.